Welcome to the C3 SYD podcast. Our heart for you is that you would know Jesus, find community, and discover purpose. To find out more about our church, head to our website at c3syd.church. We hope that this message encourages you today.
It's the last week of Lift Up Your Eyes. Are you ready? We're going to be talking about the transfiguration of Jesus. This, everybody, is a cracker. Turn to your neighbor and say, this is a cracker. You need to go home and read this scripture. Get all up in it. It is incredible. Matthew 17:1-13. Matthew 17:1-13. Let's read it. It says, after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John. So not everybody came, just the three. This was a pattern. He brought the three on the inner circle, John, the brother of James, and led them up high, up on a high mountain by themselves. There, right there, he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun. His clothes became as white as the light. Just then, there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, this is Peter Piper piping up. This is what he does. Peter pipes up and he says, hey, Jesus, it is good. This is good. Thanks, Peter. He's like, this is good for us to be here, especially us three. He didn't say that. I made that up. Don't put it online. Okay, if you wish, I will put up three shelters. Three shelters, the word shelter there means tabernacle. I will build three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And we'll just set it up here. We'll just camp up here. While, listen to this, this is important detail. While he was still speaking, just kept talking. God shows up like a cloud mid Peter's piping up, going on and on. God shows up, the Father shows up in a glory cloud. Woo! And he says, his voice is heard. This is my Son, whom I love. With him I'm well pleased. Do you remember that? He said that once upon a time earlier in Jesus' journey when he got baptized with John the Baptist. He came out of the water and the Father is reiterating what he'd already said to re-endorse Jesus in a new light. And he says this, shut up and listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. When you read your Bible, when you study the Word of God, Moses in the burning bush last week, you know, whenever somebody heard the voice of God, they would never bro down with God. You know what I mean? They would never be like, yo, what's up? Hi. Whenever God spoke, they would fall to the ground. God's kind. God loves you. But don't mess with him. He has all authority. And his voice caused them to shudder. They fell down. Jesus came and told them, get up, he said. Don't be afraid. When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. The disciples asked him, why then do the teachers of the law say that Elijah must come first? Jesus replied, to be sure, Elijah comes and will restore all things. But I tell you, Elijah has already come. And they did not recognize him, but have done to him everything they wished. In the same way, the Son of Man is going to suffer at their hands. Then the disciples understood that he was talking to them about John the Baptist. Lord, speak to us today. Lord, this week, as we study your word, as we lean into what you're doing in our lives, speak to us, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, they all said, Amen. Can you thank Elle? Love you, Elle. You're the best. Give it up for Elle. She's our keyboardist. Yeah, yeah. Woo! Have you noticed that most of the encounters we read about in the Bible happen on a mountain? Have anyone noticed that? It happens on a mountain. Does anyone like climbing mountains? Okay, all right. Anyone like climbing up to Palm Beach Lighthouse? It's kind of a mountain. We do that every now and then with the kids, and Oak starts real hot at the beginning. He starts real strong. He's striding. He's running up the first hill, and then by the second hill, I'm carrying him on my back, and we get to the top of the hill. But when you get up to the lighthouse, you can see everything. You've got this incredible perspective. You can see clearly. It's a bit of effort to get up there, but once you're there, it's worth it, right? Amen. And it's interesting because in the Old Testament, all throughout Scripture, mountains are significant because they actually speak to encounters with God. You got to understand the context. In the ancient Near East, mountains were seen in general terms as a place of divine encounter. Mountains were mysterious, dangerous. They had this idea that gods ruled them, the gods. In this way that humans ruled the earth, the gods ruled the mountains. And so we see incredible encounters that the people of God had on mountains. Moses received the law. Abraham prepared Isaac to be sacrificed. Elijah confronted the prophets of Baal. And then we come to this situation, which was on a mountain. Mount Tabor, they say, where Jesus transfigures before the disciples' eyes. I like what this theologian, Kevin Van Hooser, I just like his last name, Kevin Van Hooser, he says, I'm not the first to compare reading the scripture theologically to mountain climbing. It's actually an ancient image due, no doubt, to the fact that in the Bible, people do seem to meet God on mountains. And meeting God is why we come to scripture in the first place. You know, when you read your Bible, it's kind of like you're climbing a mountain. When you pray, it's like climbing a mountain. When you come to conference, amen, it's like climbing a mountain. Have you noticed that when you go to watch Netflix, there is no resistance? Have you noticed that? When you go to the cafe, there's no resistance to go to the cafe. You decide you want to go to the cafe, you just go. You want to watch Netflix, you just go. Why is it that when you decide I'm going to pray, suddenly there's resistance? Why is it when you decide I'm going to read my Bible, suddenly there's resistance? Why is it you decide I'm going to get to conference, suddenly there's resistance? You know why? Because Netflix isn't a mountain. It's a low place. But when you decide I'm going to draw near to God, you're climbing a mountain. There is a bit of resistance, but when you come to that place where you decide I'm going to pray, when you decide I'm going to read the word, when you put yourself in an environment of worship, do you know what happens? You discover God in a new way. And here the disciples discover Jesus in a new light. In a new light. There's three big things I really want you to catch today. The first thing is that they encountered Christ glorified. It says in verse 2, Matthew 17, there he was transfigured before them, his face shone, his clothes became white. The word transfigure in Greek means metamorpho, which is like the word metamorphosis, which is like the worm spinning a cocoon and after a season going through the change of form into a butterfly. Transfiguration is an alteration and change of outward form. And this is what happened to Jesus. His face shining, his clothes bright, like a white light, reminds us of Moses. Anyone know Moses? You heard of Moses? Moses cried out to God, God, I want to see your glory. Didn't Mitch preach an unbelievable message last week? Yeah. come on. He like, God's, Moses says to God, I want to see your glory. I want to see your glory. You know, God says you can't. Because if you do, you'll die. So God says, I'll make an exception. I'll show you my back. Read it when you get home, Exodus 33. I'll show you my back, and that's how you can see some of my glory. He does it. Moses' face shines with a bright light. His light in his face is a reflection of the glory he was looking at. And it wasn't even the full glory. Isn't it amazing that Peter, James, and John are looking at God's glory directly and don't die? They don't die. Why? Because Jesus is both the manifestation, the picture of God's glory and God's grace. The only way they could stand in the very glory of God was because Jesus is the mediator. Jesus is the bridge between God and man. Between humanity and deity, Jesus is that bridge. There is no other way. And what you need to understand is that Moses reflected glory, but Jesus wasn't reflecting glory. How you doing today? He wasn't reflecting glory. He wasn't shining because of what he was looking at. He is the very glory of God. Not a shadow, not a type. He is the source of glory. Glory came from his face. Glory came from his very being. Glory filled that mountain. Hebrews puts it like this in Hebrews 1, 1 to 3 in the NKJV. Anybody like the NKJV? Come on. Nobody. Okay. Lord, help us forgive them. Lord, they do not know what they do. Go to Hebrews 1, 1 to 3. God, who at various times in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. Listen. Whom he appointed as heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. Listen to this. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better, supreme than the angels, as he has by his inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Jesus was not a reflection of glory. He is glory. The Apostle John describes Jesus like this, John 1, 14, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Paul on the road to Damascus, he's walking on the road. He is currently Saul. He's been killing Christians. And he, near Damascus, it says, Acts 9, 3, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? In the book of Exodus, there was a glory cloud. In the New Testament, Jesus is the glory. He is the embodiment of glory. And this is what the transfiguration shows us. Then Jesus is speaking to Moses and Elijah. Do you remember that part? Come on, talk to me today. You remember that part? Hello, hello. He's talking to Moses and Elijah. And that's significant. He wasn't talking to anybody. It was Moses and Elijah. Because Moses represents the law and Elijah represents the prophets. So when we read in Luke about this encounter, it says in verse 30, two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor talking with Jesus. Do you know Moses said, I want to see your glory. And God said, you can't because it will kill you. Guess what he was seeing right then and there? God fulfilled his promise. He was looking directly at the glory of God, at Jesus' face. They spoke about his departure, it says in verse 31. The word departure means exodus. Just as Moses had led out the Israelites out of Egypt from slavery, so Jesus has come to fulfill both the law and the prophets. Why were they talking to Jesus? Because Jesus is the fulfillment of everything they were about. The law was not about the law. The prophets were not about the prophets. The prophets were prophesying about Jesus, and the law was pointing to Jesus. And here is Jesus in full glory. And I bet Moses and Elijah would have been amazed. Jesus then is called the Son of God. He's not called another prophet. He's not called another teacher. He is endorsed as the Son of God, supreme to both the law and the prophets. Jesus is God's mountain presence manifest in the earth. Peter talks about it later. Peter talks about it in 2 Peter 1:16. He says, but we were, further down, we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And we heard this voice, which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. Can I tell you something, everybody? I say all of that. How's everyone doing? I say all of that. Say this. Do you realize that you and I have access? You. Me. We have access to the very glory of God. Do you realize that you don't have access to a shadow and type of God's glory? You have direct access to the very glory of God. Not a veil, no covering needed. This is the gospel, everybody, that you have access. You have the opportunity to see Christ for who he really is. Every single day. I thought the church would be more excited about that. I thought you'd be clapping like that's the best thing you've ever heard. And if you hear that and you say, I know that, but it's one thing to know that. If you hear that and you think, yeah, I've heard this before, I know that. It's one thing to know it. It's another thing to experience it. Peter, in Matthew 16, that's before Matthew 17, he answers Jesus. Jesus says, hey, who do people say that I am? And everyone's like, oh, yeah, people say you're Elijah. People say you're one of the prophets. And then Peter says, you're the Christ. And Jesus says, whoa, Peter, you got an answer right. Whoa. He says, flesh and blood. It definitely wasn't you. Flesh and blood has revealed this to you. And then 2 seconds later, he says, you know what? That's so true. And the Christ is going to die. And then Peter says, no, Lord, you're not going to die. And then Peter becomes Satan straight away. And he says, get behind me. Get behind me. You're getting in the way of the assignment. You're getting in the way of the mission. You're not seeing what this is about, Peter. It's incredible. Because Peter goes from knowing. Listen. He goes from knowing that Jesus is the Christ to the next chapter, seeing that he is the Christ. Can I tell you, everybody, we aren't here just for you to know about God. We are building the church so you can build your information and store it up. You got AI for that. We're not trying to build your library of knowledge. We want you to know Jesus in the sense of experience Him in an intimate and real way. We aren't here for just head knowledge. We are here for your mind and your heart to know Jesus Christ, that you would be transfixed on Him, not in your head, but in your reality. This is what the transfiguration means, that this is not just head knowledge, but this is to be experienced. You are to know Jesus like you know your hand, like you know yourself, like you know your spouse, like you know your children. You are to know Jesus as intimate as anybody on this planet. And that is why we sacrifice. That is why we give. That is why we preach. That is why we worship, so that you would know Jesus face to face. 2 Corinthians 3:18, Paul, he says it like this, and we all of us, because sometimes, you know, you look at your pastor and you're like, that's me. But you look at someone, you know, like, oh yeah, they know God. And you know, I'm all good because he knows God. In the Old Testament, that was true. You would go to the high priest for your relationship with God. You would go to the high priest for your mediation. Can I tell you? I know I look like Catholic Jesus, but can I tell you, I am not your high priest. You need to go to Jesus yourself. I am not here. The staff on the team here are not here to have your relationship with God for you. We're here to champion you. We're here to help you. If you want more scripture, guess what? You've got a Bible. If you don't, I'll buy you one. If you want more of God, please don't put that on your pastor. You have the same access that I have to the same God. Woo! I'm preaching today. You have access. And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate, meditate, look at the Lord's glory are being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Have you got some things you want to change in your life? Do you? Come on, anybody going to be honest in church today? Any real people here today? You got some things? Well, you know how you change them? You don't change them by just trying to change them. That's the world's way. The world will give you 7 steps and a poem